It's Spencer Hughes on a Tuesday edition of Daybreak. Thanks a lot for being here. Every Tuesday during this legislative session, we've been chatting with Senator Drew McEwen from the 35th Legislative District, which is, of course, here in Mason County and even parts of Kitsap and Thurston County. And boy, what an agenda before the senators and the representatives in the Olympia State House. Just so many things, hundreds of things, and we've only talked about a few here because there's not enough time. We could have them on every day and not get to every issue here that they've discussed and debated and tried to get passed or not passed. And a big one has been the issue of the area of assault weapons. And Senator McEwen, welcome to Daybreak. As always, good to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. I made the mistake. I have tried to stay out of politics as much as possible. I spent 25 years on the radio heavily debating politics and yelling and screaming and kicking and whining, and mostly from obviously the kind of to the right perspective and a conservative perspective. And guns was always a big issue. You can imagine doing talk radio in San Francisco where they barely could, you know, let you own a BB gun there or a squirt gun, talking about gun issues. It was very, very stressful. So I made the mistake. I made the mistake over the weekend of getting into a little bit of a Twitter scuffle with somebody because I saw our state hashtag. You know, it was trending. It said hashtag Washington State. So I'm like, what happened? You know, did a volcano go off and I missed it? What? Why is Washington State trending here? So I clicked on it, and of course, it was because of what happened late last week or over the weekend in Olympia and all the gun talk and all these. It was amazing how most people were like, you know, now there's not going to be any more shootings because of this. And in Washington's, they're at the the vanguard of gun safety, and they believe in the children, and they don't want kids to die. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't stay silent on this. So I made a post in reference to another person's post. And then, of course, I opened Pandora's box, and you can't win on some of these debates because people get so emotional. This is such an emotionally driven issue that they don't stop and use their brains. And I pointed out things like these weapons are used in a minority of shootings. They didn't have anything to say about that. I told them we already have laws against murder. Why does it still happen? They didn't have anything to say about that. I said there's still no guns allowed in schools. How do they get in there? Nothing to say about that. And what's interesting, too, Senator, is, and you may remember this, or certainly stories of it if you didn't experience it yourself, students were able to bring guns to school. There were hunting clubs. There were shooting clubs. Yeah. Kids had rifles in their trucks out front of the school, and the doors were unlocked. And we didn't have mass shootings. We didn't have killings when guns were even more accessible to kids than they are now, arguably. So anyway, I got into this whole thing, and I knew it would happen, and I kind of just let it go, and I didn't try to get the last word in on it. But let's talk about the gun bills, and we could become, and I think we will become, because I don't think there's anything that can stop it from happening, that Governor Inslee will put his signature on this, and we will become the 10th state, for better or for worse, to have this quote-unquote assault weapons ban. Let's talk about this and what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, you know, where do you even begin, right? I look at all of this. And let's start here, where there is common agreement. There's not a single person in the legislature or in the public that wants to that does not want to see a decrease in shootings, in death, in the things that are going on in our society today. We all agree with that. We see different causes, though. We see different solutions, and you know, we have a fundamental bedrock cornerstone in our Constitution, and both at the federal and the state level, and I'd even argue our state level Constitution is even more clear than the Second Amendment at the federal level. And through the years, the courts have ruled that, you know, you can have reasonable restrictions. And of course, that's, you know, open to debate, you know, and I mean, I certainly think it's prudent to have background checks, et cetera. I don't have any issue with that. What I have issue with, though, is we're not addressing the overall problem that is in society today, and that's a lack of accountability. And this isn't something that just happened overnight. I mean, we're talking over, you know, probably two generations where we continue to diminish the consequences of bad behavior and wonder why we have problems. And whether it's on the extreme end of, you know, of gun violence, or it's on, you know, every day-to-day life, we have created a culture of no responsibility in our nation. I'm not sure how we swing that pendulum back, but we need to. And I think at the very core of nearly everything we debate, that comes to the heart of it. You know, and I find the irony, and you know, and you're right. I can get into a debate or conversation with somebody that feels, you know, XYZ rifle should be banned. I don't think it should. You know, we're not going to change each other's minds on those things. I get that, by and large, you know, but let's look at the hypocrisy though, just at the state level that we've done. Just last year, there was a bill introduced to decriminalize drive-by shootings. There's been a refusal to have firearm enhancements on crimes. We don't want police to chase people, but yet we're going to ban things from folks that are law-abiding citizens. And, you know, the sheriff in Florida in Marion County that dealt with just in the last 2 weeks, horrible situation where two teenagers, I forget the exact situation, but it was a couple of teenagers that killed a few people deliberately. He put it quite succinctly, no matter what law you pass, the bad people are still going to get the guns. And I think that is so true. When you look at some statistics that really drive to this point, when you look at criminal behavior with guns and whether it's a robbery, it's a murder, et cetera, the percentage of firearms purchased from a licensed federal firearms dealer of those guns that end up in those situations, it's less than 1.5%.
Wow.
And just think about that for a moment, less than 1.5%. And, you know, and you know, we're, you know, when you look at our Bill of Rights, you know, we need to treat them all, frankly, fairly. I think most people understand and know what the First Amendment is, the right to free speech, the right to freedom of religion, et cetera. You know, and that's taught as it should be, you know, throughout school. But how many schools turn around and teach firearm safety and teach the respect? Mm-hmm. That's the Second Amendment, you know, and we go through this. And I think, and again, we're not, somebody that's got their heels dug in on one side of the argument, somebody that's got their heels dug in on the other side of the argument, they're not going to change each other's minds on the issue of firearms. I think that we have a number of reasonable laws in place that this is not going to change the trajectory of what the underlying core problem is in society. And that is a failure of society to hold people accountable. And you can't have all grace and no truth. You can't have all truth and no grace, right?
Yeah.
There's gotta be a balance there. And we lack that balance. We talk about giving people a second chance. Well, heck, there's no consequences for the first mistake. You know, I do believe in second chances, but we've created a culture where there are no consequences, period. And we wonder why we have these issues.
Yeah, I mentioned in the last segment, if you missed it, about how there used to be a day where it was very common for high school students to bring guns to school for hunting clubs, shooting clubs, things like that. And they would often leave them on gun racks in their trucks. It wasn't strange to drive by a neighborhood where there was a school and see a bunch of trucks with weapons in them. And nobody broke into them to steal them. The kids weren't running out to get them the minute they had an argument to come in and start shooting up the school. So something has changed. It's not the availability of guns. Something else has changed. I want to come back here with Senator Drew McEwen for part two of this interview, and we'll discuss this and some other things. Senator?
I grew up in the upper Midwest. The Navy brought me out here to Washington State in the mid-90s. And I grew up in a small town, and yeah, hunting season rolled around. Just about every car in the student parking lot had a gun rack and nail, and people headed out after school to go hunting. It wasn't that uncommon. I mean, I remember people occasionally brought them in, put them in their lockers, and it was suggested maybe just leave it in the car. It'd probably be a better option. You know, but it was, yeah, today, can you imagine the response that would happen tonight? Because things have changed, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the easy answer on all this, you know, we need to do a better job in protecting our children. Absolutely. I see a different avenue. I mean, I walk into the state capitol, there's a dozen state patrols and canine units around that capitol building every day. Our kids go to school, and, you know, if they're lucky, there's a school resource officer if they live in a community that hasn't demonized the police yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality, and that's sad. It's sad that we have to have protection, right? But that's also a reflection of,
yeah.
Of the of, you know, where we're at as a society today.
That's a great point. And students who oftentimes, I hate to say it, just because of their age, it's not because they're born stupid or anything, but they're largely uneducated when it comes to gun issues and abortion issues and any issues, frankly. They don't know what they're talking about when they're 14, 15 years old. They think they do, but they don't. They ought to ask their parents when they get home, you know, since they're so upset at, you know, pro-Second Amendment politicians, they ought to ask their parents if they support student resource officers. And I bet you anything, certainly if they live in King County or parts of Pierce County, I mean, maybe even some folks in Mason County don't want a school resource officer. So they ought to ask their parents, well, gee, why wouldn't you want an armed officer patrolling the hallways of my school if you really believe in school safety? I mean, it's a total mental disconnect to me that so many parents are against having a school resource officer. I don't understand the reasoning why, because if there is a shooting, what do? You call the police and the SWAT team, and they have big guns to neutralize the bad guy. I mean, it's so silly. I mean, why not have an officer already there before you call 911?
Right. Agreed.
It's just common sense.
And we need to look at school construction again. And it's sad that we have to go down this path. I acknowledge that we shouldn't even live in a society where we've got to go down this path. We've got to look at school construction and the security of those, the physical security of those buildings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here, and I'll throw something out that, you know, many people that are of like-minded, like myself, that are pro-Second Amendment and Article 1, Section 24 of the state constitution, that would disagree with me on the next statement I'm going to make, but I'm willing to have this debate. And that is, look at Florida. They instituted red flag laws. We have something similar but not as strong in our state. I would be willing to have that debate. And that revolves around mental health and putting a prohibition on the ability to own a gun. If you have a mental health condition, by the way, you're technically not supposed to buy a gun, but we don't have a very good mechanism to address that, you know, unless you've been flagged somehow.
Sure.
And that's what Florida has, is this red flag system. And again, there's people that make a strong argument that violates the Second Amendment. I would at least be willing to have that debate, though, you know, and let's talk about some of those things.
Sure.
It's, you know, unfortunately, we're so polarized today. And, you know, there was a passionate speech made towards the end of the debate on Saturday by my Democrat colleague from Anacortes, Senator Liz Lovett. And her and I, we work great together on a number of issues. We don't see eye to eye and everything, but she made it very passionately. And I had a senator message at the end. I said, hey, I know we see the underlying bill differently, but I appreciate your passion for the safety of our children, and I share that, and let's find ways that we can address that, you know. And she was very grateful for that. And, you know, we've got to bring the temperature down in the room, folks.
Yeah,
we have to, you know, regardless of what the issue is, what side of the issue is, if you can't stop and listen to what other people are saying, we're not gonna get these things solved. No. And that's the reality.
Absolutely. I know we went a little long on this, so I want to give you the option if you want to talk about the capital gains tax, but I understand your time's limited, so I'm okay either way.
Yeah,
but
just real quick. I think people are familiar with the situation that the state Supreme Court ruled it constitutional. I think it was probably one of the worst judicial writings. And I'd encourage people to actually go and read it, because they basically state that that's what they think that this should be, as opposed to really giving a strong legal argument for why they thought it should be constitutional under our state constitution. Having said all that, I've been saying this since the day this was passed 2 years ago, that it'll never be enough money. And lo and behold, guess what happened last week? Legislation was introduced that, because the state Supreme Court ruled that it's an excise tax, not an income tax. That's how they're circumventing the our constitutional prohibition on this. But a bill was introduced last week in the Senate by two Senate Democrats that would, for the healthcare industry, that if executive salaries are X percent above the average wage of the workers in that hospital setting, that's deemed to be excessive and therefore subject to an excise tax and will be taxed as such. It's an income tax. I said it wouldn't take long. My gosh, it took a week after the court ruling to go down this path. And guess what? It's not going to stop there.
No,
it's going to continue to be these little chinks that are put into the armor. And before you know it, guess what? We all have excessive income that needs to be taxed. That's where it's heading. And the Olympia has an insatiable appetite for revenue. And, doesn't care much to look at the expenditure side. And until we resolve that, we're going to continue to be fighting these issues.
Well, I appreciate your good fight, and we have one more week for sure to chat with you. And then the legislative session wraps up on the 23rd, which is a Sunday. So I appreciate it. We look forward to chatting with you next week, and people can chat with you online and get on your mailing list and check out your bills and stuff. Senator Drew McEwen's website is drewmcewen.src.waestatelegg.org, serving Mason County, parts of Kitsap, and parts of Thurston County. Senator, always a pleasure, and we'll talk with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks much. Have a great week.